This album is dedicated to all
brothers and sisters,
my men and my women.
And yo, it's time.
Put our hands together.
Hip hop, hip hop.
Because who I'm talking about, y'all, is hip hop. It's hip hop, it's hip hop.
The stories of hip hop, of rap music, are the stories of a million MCs who, inside of them, the words are coming, the words they need to make sense of the world around them. The words are witty and blunt, abstract and linear, sober and fucked up. And when we decode that torrent of words, by which I mean really listen to them with our minds and our hearts open, we can understand their world better, and ours too. It's the same world. This is Rhymes and Reasons.
My name is Sage Morgan Hubbard, and I'm originally from Washington, D.C. And currently, I am a teaching artist, a poet, an organizer. I started the hip-hop teaching in Chicago, which first started off as a project with graduate students at Northwestern University, and then really morphed into working with Words, Beats, and Life, and then officially having it under Words, Beats, and Life, and really connecting the hip-hop community within Chicago. So it was not just a traditional conference, but a model of a teach-in, bringing in all different folks from the community to academics and organizers to have professional development and sharing best practices, as well as workshops for youth and education pedagogy sharing. This is something that's really near and dear to my heart, and it's a way of connecting a lot of different aspects of my life. What I love about hip-hop is that it really values a range of different voices, and the culture allows for many different mediums and elements to be one and play and really have fun.
Yet our best trained, best educated, best equipped, best prepared troops refuse to fight. Matter of fact, it's safe to say that they would rather switch than fight.
One of the pieces that I chose was Fight the Power. I have a brother who's 12 years older, and he was in college during like kind of the height of a certain political hip-hop era, and he would always like play these songs. And I remember particularly Public Enemies, Fear of a Black Planet, and he gave it to my mom and me, and we would just like blast it throughout the house. And being from DC, I kind of was just raised in protests. Every month we would be at a different protest, and I'd be at, one week would be gay pride or fighting against some unjust laws or one of the wars. It was just a constantly raised fighting on the streets. And what Public Enemy was able to do with Fight the Power really gave us lyrics and momentum that kind of connected the 60s protest culture that I was being raised in to something very current and present.
1989, the number, another summer. Sound of the funky drummer. Music hitting your heart, cause I know you got soul. Listen, if you're missing, y'all, swinging while I'm singing.
Hey.
Giving what you're getting, knowing what I know. While the black band's sweating in the rhythm I'm rolling. Gotta give us what we want. Gotta give us what we need.
Hey.
Our freedom of speech is freedom of death. We got to fight the powers that be.
It still has that kind of like real rhythm for me, and it just, you know, I think some of the early hip hop, it's the sound of the funky drummer, of rhythms rolling, and it is a call and response, and so it's not only the politicalness, but it's also the interactiveness of hip hop that just really motivated me, and I was just like, oh, this is like cool. I can be this little kid, and I can still sing along with my brother and take it wherever. It's really a piece that you can always be shouting and singing. So that's something that really motivated me.
Fight the power! 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 We got to fight the power!
We went to private schools in D.C. There weren't that many people of color, and we had to choose our schools. So I chose the more, like, progressive, hippier schools. I've always been artsy and more hippie, like, freeform. And he was like, no, I'm very different. He chose St. Albans and wore suits and other stuff, but still he had a fro, and people would think that he was a girl, and he would just get, like, picked on and stuff. So hip-hop for him was a way of building masculinity too, like, and so, like, not only was Public Enemy, like, powerful because of his consciousness and being a black man, but it also was like, I'm a man, goddammit, don't fuck with me. Elvis was a hero to most, but he never meant to me. Is he straight out racist? The sucker was simple and plain. Motherfucking in John Wayne. Cause I'm black and I'm proud. Already I'm hyped cause I'm amped. Most of my heroes don't appear in no stamp. Sample, look back, you look and find nothing but rednecks for 400 years if you check. Don't worry, the act was a number one jam. And the other side is I also was raised with a lot of jazz, and I really loved the first album that I bought myself with Diggable Planets, and I loved the kind of jazzy, soulful hip-hop that was just kind of calling back to, like, Sun Ra and, like, all this kind of interplanet-ness. And so I think that it was cool that at the same time I could be listening to, like, hardcore call and response, kind of, like, fight the power, and then be like, I'm from digga digga doo, did it? And just, like, just the kind of scatting and playing around. I was, before I kind of reached puberty, I was much more silly and would always be singing songs and making up songs, and I love the play of the music.
We like the breeze float straight out of our lids. Them, they got boo bodies, hard rock Brooklyn kids. Us, floor rush when they DJ booming classics. You dig the crew on the fattest hip-hop record. He tucks the kinks and sinks into the sound.
I guess I was never really cool, but in my mind I was. And like the aesthetic just really went with who I felt like I was. And like when I went to camp, I went to like these farm and wilderness Quaker camp, but we got all the girls together. We do like little skits of what a man, and it was just like really fun way to come into puberty, and like in a very empowered way. Like I know that everyone talks about hip hop and the misogyny, but for me it was like a great time because it didn't feel like I didn't recognize the misogyny until much later on when I was more like an older teenager. But as a younger preteen, and like I just saw it as like powerful. Who you calling a bitch? Like who you? Oh no, you did. Like it was just like very much like no one's gonna misuse my body. My clothes are bigger than yours. Damn. Like you know, it was just a really empowering voice, and I think I really needed that. Like I was sad when I think that became less popular. I wanna take a minute or two and give much respect to the man that's made a difference in my world. And although most men are hoes, he floats on the down low, cause I never heard about him with another girl. But I don't sweat it because it's just pathetic to let it get me involved in that he said she said crowd. I know that ain't nobody perfect. I give props to those who deserve it, and believe me, y'all, he's worth it. So here's to the future, cause we got through the past. I finally found somebody that could make me laugh. You so crazy. I think I wanna have your baby. I went to a school called Oneness Family Peace School, and that's where I was listening to a lot of the stuff. And I had this bus driver who was a musician, and we would always talk about music. And I was like in fourth grade, and I was with fifth graders, sixth graders, seventh, like all the way up through high school. So it was like a lot of older kids, and we'd be like just talking about the radio. And it was great to like really be in conversation with the radio instead of it being like this thing. As I got older, it was like, oh, that's not the real stuff. Like, turn that off. That's bullshit. We need to like put in our own CDs and put in our own stuff. Like, it was a time where I felt like I liked the radio.
Calling a bitch.
We gotta let 'em know.
Come on, here we go.
Here we go.
We gotta let 'em know.
UNITY was Queen Latifah. You know, she is someone who has transformed so much over the course of my lifetime, or over the course of 10 years, with now like Maybelline, and I'm just like, whoa, or, you know, in her films with Common, or she, and even there, she's like, because of who she is, she's never really seen as a love object in the ways that other women are. She's, they're trying to make her more feminized and blonde. But when UNITY came out, and she was really like this Nubian queen, and just like so powerful, and talking about all of us coming together. And it also wasn't like anti-black men. Like, and I think that's a lot of times people are like, oh, if you're a powerful woman, you're anti-male. And she was like, no, it's like, love a black man, but you gotta let him know you ain't a bitch or a hoe. Like, I think that's really powerful too, that too much society is just like, oh, it's you either one or the other. But she's talking about all of us coming together and really critiquing each other. Like, you can't just be calling us bitches and hoes and trying to make a sister feel low. You know, you got all of that gots to go. I mean, it's very like simple rhymes, but she's just telling it as it is. It's just more of a talking style. And I'm one who loves like fancy lyricism and flow, and like, and her pieces are not like that, but they're beautiful too. Like, you don't really need to be all like abstract. And like, this is, she's just, it's a very straightforward piece. Instinct leads me to another flow. Every time I hear a brother call a girl a bitch or a hoe, trying to make a sister feel low, you know all of that got to go. Now everybody knows there's exceptions to this rule. I don't be getting mad when we playing, it's cool. But don't you be calling me out my name. I bring breath to those who disrespect me like a dame. That's why I'm talking. One day I was walking down a block. I had my cutoff shorts on right, cause it was crazy hot. I walked past these dudes when they passed me. One of them felt my booty, he was nasty. I turned around red, somebody was catching the rat. Then the little one said,
yeah, me bitch.
And laughed. Since he was with his boys, he tried to break fly. I punched him dead in his eyes. Said, who you calling a bitch? I think the pieces that I picked are all kind of straightforward, because also like I was coming from funk and other types of music that it is more just like one-liners, and I think lots of times with music I want to sing along, I want to be called into it, I am honoring other people's talent and stuff, but a lot of times the culture is something that I really want to participate in, and those are the songs that really have stayed with me for a while in a different way. I can love all of these range of songs, but these are the ones that I can actually really remember and share with every type of person. This is a song you can take into prison. I've taught in women's correctional facilities. I've taught in preschool through college age. And this is a piece that really translates in so many. It's like everyone can get it. I don't see as many examples of different varieties of powerful women, of folks that are more Afrocentric in the mainstream, that are folks that are really political and talking about capitalism and all of these things. And so I think I wish the representatives of these songs had more of a voice, or that Queen Latifah could take her power now and really speak out the ways that she did in the 90s. Some of the transformation is not exactly what I wanted to see, but I wouldn't just blame hip hop like I think a lot of people do. It's too easy to blame hip hop, and I don't see us blaming country music in the same way, or rock and roll in the same way. And I think it's unfair. And I think part of the reasons of that is because it came out of resistance and youth culture and disenfranchised people and people of color. And so it's really scary, like, to have, I mean, you can understand that now Flavor Flav, like, the way that he is, has gotten popular, but not the rhetoric of Fight the Power. Like, what would happen if Fight the Power was as popular now with Obama as the president? With, you know, like, it's a different geography. It would be a very different political landscape.
Because we've been off through slave ships, got our own pyramids, write our own hieroglyphs. Just call it shit high power. Yeah, nothing less than high power. 5-star dishes, food for thought bitches. I mean, this shit is Fred Hampton on your campus. You can't resist his high power. Throw your hands up for high power.
Well, I saw this show called The Migos Be Thinking, like Amigos Be Thinking, from Bell Multicultural High School with Kike Aviles and the Poem Seas. And I had never, ever seen anything like it before. And I was just like, whoa, this is cool. I would love to do something like that. And then I went, but I wouldn't get out the car. My parents were like, girl, you need to get out the car. Like, it's just a bunch of kids doing poetry. You can do this. Like, my dad's a poet, so it's not like I haven't had examples around me, but I was just like, I can't do it. I'm like shy. So much of my identity was about being shy and being sweet and being like that, like, smart, sweet, colored, shy girl. But they were like more all city kids, and it was just like a different thing. But I got out the car and Kike was like, oh, you were gonna have to speak. So he made me like stand in the middle and say this like poem that I had just written while everyone was walking around me yelling and like pretending like they were just on the city, like being crazy. And I was like, I can't speak louder than them. He was like, yes, you are. And for like a half an hour, just till I finally like screamed. And he was like, there you go. There's your voice. Come on, let's go.
Here, have a dollar. In fact, no, brother man, here, have two. $2 means a snack for me, but it means a big deal to you. Be strong, serve God only. Know that if you do, beautiful heaven awaits. That's the poem I wrote for the first time. I saw a man with no clothes, no money, no plate, Mr. Wendell. That's his name. No one ever knew his name, cause he's a no one. Never thought twice about spending on an old bum until I had the chance to really get to know one. Now that I know him, to give him money isn't charity. He gives me some knowledge, I buy him some shoes. And to think blacks spend all their money on big colleges, still most of y'all come out confused. Go ahead, Mr. Wendell.
And my first piece that I really performed, I was like this drunk homeless man from DC. It was a persona piece, and I was loud, I was obnoxious, I was like, had my hands down my pants, I was coming out the audience, and like, and people, and one of my teachers there, and he was like, his eye, like for an hour, he just like, he was like, was that Sage? What the hell did they do to you? What is going on? Who knew you had that in you? And then that was one of the pieces that I like actually would do on the streets and at protests and stuff, to sort of like talk to rich folks about who they're stepping over and like all that kind of, but it was just like, oh, I don't have to be myself all the time. Like, I can be this guy sometimes. And I was living with my grandmother on my mom's side, Russian Jewish immigrant, who was slowly getting Alzheimer's, and I was starting to take care of her. But I got to do a piece about like what it's like to lose your memory and grow old, and everyone had masks of her, and so everyone on the stage was her, and it was so powerful and really allowed me to work out a lot of the stuff I was dealing with and wasn't talking about, like how hard it was to love someone so much and have them slowly disappear. And I think I just always saw poetry as like just a magic thing of storytelling, because I was crazy, I just kept it inside. Like, I was just like, I was really good at controlling my crazy, and poetry allowed me to be like, yo, everyone's crazy, you can do it too. So that's really like where my poetry has come from.
Boys and girls, listen up. You can be anything in the world, and God we trust, an architect, doctor, maybe an actress, but nothing comes easy, it takes much practice.
The television that I did get to watch was like Cosby Show in a Different World, and I always thought college would be like a different world, and blackness and hip-hop were just like part of what was gonna happen at the college experience, and it was just gonna, and they always looked like they were having fun, they never really did homework, it was just, and like they had this like cool soundtrack. And then when I went to college, I thought there would be more hip-hop groups or hip-hop study, some type of thing, and there wasn't. And when I went to the orientation weekend, there was this woman who was beatboxing, and they did some spoken word. I was like, yeah, this is where I'm gonna be, I'm gonna go to Brown. And when I came a few months later, they were like, no, that was just a showcase, like that was one person doing a poem. And
self-employed b-boy by the year 2G, make it happen, do many more ways than just rapping, cause we tapping in a resource you just don't see. It's hard work, believe me, ain't none of this easy, but don't think these brothers don't listen while they work. See, I prefer to hold my creative control instead of selling out my soul and looking like a jerk. Our words serve a purpose on both sides of the surface, huh? You think we undermine your plan to overstand, but everything is dual. See, we provide the fuel for you to get the point, even if you don't know the man, the first brother is blue.
This guy, Biko, had been a part of Youth Speak Slam team, and I was coming from Poetry Slams in DC, and I was like, yes, this is, I'm just gonna like work with him and we're gonna build something. He was like already disillusioned. He was like, this is too fucked up, it's too much of a white school, it's not worth it. He was like, this is bullshit, they think they're so revolutionary. And I was this little like innocent freshman. I was like, okay. And we just kind of created our own stuff, and instead of doing it just as slam, I got kind of disillusioned with slam really early on. We decided that we'd do more hip-hop theater plays. So what we did is we talked to a professor, and he was like, yeah, you should make it a class, and so you can get credit for doing this performance, and why don't we study hip-hop and spoken word? And it was like one of the first like hip-hop spoken word classes, definitely at Brown, and we got to co-teach. We'd set up the curriculum with him, and it just felt like, okay, this is really possible. This is, we can bridge these gaps. And it wasn't just Brown students, it was also community members, and we also did outreach and teaching at high schools. And it was a really beautiful moment, and now it's 10 years old and it's still going on.
Keeps a fat beat by the pack where I'm from. Nappy hair is like, we be reading Marx where I'm from. The kids be rocking clocks where I'm from. You turn around your cap, you talk over a beat, and dick some sounds booming out of Jeep where I'm from. Cocoons hide the youth, two units hundred proof. You want some beef, they will cut you some where I'm from. The beats is in.
But for us, it was a really great place to express our frustration with the government, with the wars that kept on coming on, with the selections of Bush over and over again, with a lot of different moments. We used a lot of hip-hop. Digable Planets, like Where I'm From, was one of the first prompts that we used, and everyone was from all over the country. And we brought in live drummers and all different elements, and we were just very open. We had some MCs as part of it, and it might not be what other people consider as hip-hop, but we really saw it as hip-hop.
Watch how we go down.
Done work with many different like hip-hop boot camps throughout the country. One was at New World Theater in Massachusetts, and it was called Project 2050, and basically in the year 2050 it will be majority people of color. So it was like, okay, how can we create an ensemble of young people, high schoolers, that reflects what our new culture is going to be? And New World Theater is all for a theater for people of color, and they would bring in artists like Universes, Baba Israel, and Rockefeller, and Quick like step and literary artists, dancers, visual artists, and we'd create a show in 10 days. And it was praxis sessions. So they'd have activists come in and sort of teach about the young people about the topic of the time. So the first one I did was environmentality. So we had all these environmental justice activists come and give a lecture about what environmental justice issues like the, and we had kids come in who had like nuclear power plants around their houses, and they were just like, everyone in their community was getting cancer, and the kids would get riled up about that, and they were like, what do we do? And then they'd have, in the afternoon, they'd have a dance session, so they'd like work it out in their bodies, and they're like, how can we reflect this injustice of nuclear power through a dance piece? How can we do it through a spoken word piece? How can we do it with visual art? And we create the set and the music and just like make it happen in 10 days. And it was incredible. It was so transformative. And I was just like, this is the way the world should work.
Street veterans and defiant giants, cowboys are us, kicking up dust and riots. Plus, when we get busy, we be ready to bust the revolution and get it on like Huey P. Newton, South Central and Watts rebellions. Speaking of off the hook, we wrote the book. You can tell when you party with us, you don't want to start it with us. You might get touched with an adrenaline rush. Pacific Heights, we take flight to live it.
It was so inspiring, and I did something in San Francisco area that's similar. It was called Art in Action. It was not just high school kids. It was up through age 25, and everyone had to do the same tracks. It was a much smaller program. 2050 was like 50 plus people, so it was like a huge ensemble. It was like a massive undertaking and tons of artists, 20 some artists, and then I was a counselor, so assistant to a lot of the artists. And in Art in Action, you get also brought in a lot of the political protest stuff. So there were like these big, huge, I made my first giant puppet, which it was a big woman with a fro, like the Lady Liberty, and she had a big afro pick, and it was like, pick your battles. So when we rocked a show, we had this huge puppet too, and we had a recording studio set up, and we went out in the woods in Santa Cruz. And so I'd never like recorded or done a rap before. Everyone had to dance, even if you've never done dance before. And we did a piece about stopping the violence, and there was a lot of violence in Oakland. A lot of the youth that they brought out were formerly incarcerated youth or youth that were homeless, and it was really just big for them to be in the woods in general.
Up and early for the hope of a brand new day. See a homie you ain't seen since back in the day. Fresh haircut fitted with a fat ass fade. Into work week chillin' on a Saturday. How you felt when you first heard the daddy came? Rocky MKRS, hey, I had that day. Cooling out with old girl on a fat ass day. Find $100 bill, wow man, that's great. Get promoted at your job up to management. Plot a long time, finally your plan is made. Every time I feel I wanna shout, man, it's real that way. Wanna think of things that make you feel that way.
Like I knew that hip hop was a culture, and it wasn't just rap and it wasn't just songs, but those experiences of kind of just creating shows and creating this power out of collaboration, like really made it become a reality for me. And I almost got a PhD in it. Now I'm like trying to figure out what's next and what will be the most helpful things from my own personal growth, but also for the culture.
Yo, this is Headliner from Arrested Development, and right now you're in the midst of a celebration. A celebration of life, death, and the struggles of our ancestors.
My version of hip hop is about the everyday people. Like, I know a lot of people love the icons and just want to be like Jay-Z and just want to be like, you know, whoever it is. But for me, I want to be like that dude that I don't really know his name, or like, because he says, because they have a beautiful, loving relationship with a sister with natural hair. And, but like, these are the worlds that I want to create, where they could be in conversation with these folks in New Zealand and can be in conversation with these hardcore breakers in Korea or these graph artists in Japan. When I see globalization, like that, I think hip hop is a really powerful example of positive globalization. Like some of the ways that internet and all these things have, our technology has advanced, is exciting. It isn't just like, oh shit, like everything, the corporations are taking over. That is happening. But at the same time, the world is getting smaller and there's really exciting fusions and music and culture being created. Here's Saint Eli Valkyra when I hit foreign air quotes. Oh, so businessman, entrepreneur, beast that tackle your physical. That's lyrics that law. Check them out, test them, eh? Don't know the status of this one. Whether gold or platinum, I'm just here to have fun. I'm reluctant to stay quiet. And when the loose kids are stay silent, I'm the type of kid that's in MCs to early retirement. No rhymes, only requirement. Defecate on your lawn. Baba Israel, his mom is from Australia, and he showed me some music videos from New Zealand, and I was like, whoa, there's brown chunky people like me all the way across the world doing hip-hop on a sheep field. Like, what is this? They're like rapid hardcore with sheep. And I was just like, and with little kids, and it's like beautiful. Like they have grandmas and babies out there, and they're also being inspired by Public Enemy, and they also have like this old school, like political, like you stole our language type shit, and like now we're reclaiming Maori culture. So that just blew my mind.
Some folks can hear us hype scene. Out of nowhere comes a woman I'm dating. Investigation, maybe she was demonstrating, but nevertheless I was pleased. My day was going great and my soul was at ease.
I hadn't really thought about this, but it is about a man standing up for his black queen too. I think it is an interesting piece about trying to test a brother's manhood, and like as gangster rap was rising and one version of masculinity and black manhood was getting very popular and seen as the only way. Speech and other folks were showing this other side, and he's talking about his like confrontation with it, with a man over him disrespecting his woman. These are like the issues of everyday people, and he's saying, why niggas please leave me alone. They're squeezing parts of my date's anatomy. Why do they have to drill me? Because if I start to hit this man, they'll kill me. And so, even though it's like very like, ooh, happy-go-lucky, like there are these issues that are going on, and like there are always issues. There's always violence in the communities. Like it didn't just stop when people wore bright colors and head wraps.
Disrespecting my black queen.
Black queen.
Crisis and being obscene. At first I ignore them, cause see I know the type. They got drunk, they got guns, and yes they wanna fight. And they see a young couple having a time that's good. And the Eagles wanna test their brother's manhood. So they came to test speech cause of my heritage. And the loud bright colors that I wear. I was a target cause I'm a fashion misfit. And the outfit that I'm wearing, brothers disfit.
I'm someone who, like, yes, I read the N-word because it's on the paper, and I actually didn't really even realize as much that it was in this song, which I think is interesting because I have my own imagination or a selective memory of songs too. I didn't know that he's using that word, but while I've been in academic spaces and I understand Cornel West and the Four Angry Black Men, you know, and their rap song about nigger and not using the word, doesn't matter if it's ER or A, like it's just not respectful, and particularly if we're such a creative people, like why are we using old busted terms? Like we can make up other things. That's kind of, and that's what I like to encourage my students and young people to just like think beyond.
The moral of the story is you never-
there's a space for white people to be really critical of their whiteness, and that's part of why I fought for having a critical whiteness dialogue as part of the teach-in, because it gets silent so much, and that's just reinforces whiteness by not talking about it. And I'm someone who's my mom's Russian Jewish, and my dad's African American and Native American, and I think that, you know, I definitely have white privilege, I definitely have class privilege, I definitely have academic privilege in certain ways. Like, I can pass in many different spaces, but I also look Mexican, I look Puerto Rican, I look like a lot of things that I'm not, too. And I think that's an interesting positioning as well. There's many different forms of passing and different layers of all identities to talk about. I'm someone who identifies as queer as well, and that's more of a newer identity for me, but I do pass, and a lot of femme folks pass as automatically straight, and that's another thing that we really wanted to talk about, because it doesn't get talked about that much in hip-hop at all, or it gets talked about in only negative terms, or, you know, there is a homo-hop movement, but then a lot of artists don't identify with that, and that's what was something that, you know, Invincible, having her on a panel just talking about sexuality, she was like, yo, I've never really done this before. I've done some queer performances, but like really having to sit down and have a conversation, it was so hard to get any males involved. And now we have Tim M. West. I just did a panel on LGBTQ hip hop on the down low and just like in general. And he's been doing it for over 15 years and doesn't get as much recognition. And his privilege as a very masculine man, and like he's gotten more play than, because he's not as threatening to a lot of MCs as someone who's more femme or genderqueer or trans.
Listen, I got a passion for spitting, smashing the competition. Vocals a logo for the back-to-back world champion. Pistons undebatable, flesh is biodegradable. People ego deflatable, see no evil and play the role. I'm Peter Gabriel with a sledgehammer. Blood standards, red-handed, set standards, dedicated to Dilla proof. Abel Miracle, Fanny Lou Hang, my Marlon Riggs, Nina and Fred Hampton. Yeah. There goes the neighborhood like Fred Sanford next door. The Ned Flanders. These cats pop off at the mouth like over Redenbacher. My lyrics open up the portal, see your seven chakras. Helicopter circle and watch the exchange of Betty Crocker. So poppers and bit and drama prevent it.
There was a trans hip hop artist, and he was like, are these spaces that are queer spaces, are they friendly to trans, like F to M, female to male transition? And if he went to a all-female space, and there are beginning to be more all-female hip-hop spaces, I still love her in Chicago, there's B-Girl B, and there's some stuff in New York too, like what happens to a trans body? He's a male, you know, a lot of all male spaces, even though they don't call them all male spaces, they are all male spaces, definitely are not about like, yeah, like, come on in, you know? So, and there's all the like no homo and pause and this kind of things, like that are just like so tied up in our rhetoric as cool or as funny. And I'm just like, we also have just so much great humor. Why do we have to like make fun of other people? Like at the end of the day, like really that's what they want us to do, is just like fight amongst ourselves in concert.
Who be sicker than this chick? That spit lies more slicker than Rick is. Can't name none, y'all bum so average. Why you stay beefcake and I be Macho Man Savage and running the game, running you lames in retirement. If you ain't saying I'm great, they must be lying then. You stepped in the lion's den, dinner on the table. I'm a beast, so I'm a feast anytime that I'm able. Yum yum, food in my tum tum. Y'all young bums better know when you're done, done. I am on one, I don't mean X, I mean I'm on one, top spot. No.
Hip hop matters because it's universal, it's beauty, it's storytelling, it's peace, unity, having fun, it's bringing together multiple mediums and power and voices. It's can be traumatizing and incredibly enlightening all in the matter of minutes. And it's so much a part of my generation and worlds that I'm so grateful for. It's helping me build my life and connect me with people throughout the world.